The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay,
thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. And, you know, if you read the reports from practice yesterday, via Andy and Paul and Eric, things are looking pretty good here.
Hell
the
yeah.
New England Patriots in, you know, knock on wood, I'm doing it as I speak, health-wise, you know, guys are back on the field, Dominic Easley and Gerard Mayo and, you know, I'm
Gronk.
Excited. Gronk, you know, now taking part in 11 on 11. Things are good.
They were running Gronk ragged.
Yeah.
Early on. In 7 on, it was like Brady took like 3 or 4 in a row with Gronk. He would come back. He'd have to run another one down the seam. He was sucking some serious
wins. It's
almost
like you shut it down until the week before the game. You don't want anything to happen. You know?
No, you don't.
Of course I'm being facetious.
You build
dummy.
Towards September 7th, and that's what they're doing.
I know.
But you added, in my opinion, now, I don't want to make.
They're going in the right direction.
They're going in the right direction. Pretty much everybody's out there. The only guy who's not is like Chris Martin. There's like one or two. Everybody's. Even, you know, the James Andersons and the everybody, Jeremy Gallen was not only out there off PUP, he was catching punts with, like, he was the third returner.
Dobson's back out there. He's,
so,
know, for a little bit.
Almost everybody is out there. They're not all quite to the full participation, but to me, the two were Gronk and Easley. Because Easley, they have a lack of depth on the defensive line, so much so they traded for a couple guys last week. And you add a guy who's your first round pick who is, a unique talent. When you watch him, I'm not trying to say he's Gronk or he's this or he's that, but he's a unique defensive line talent. You can see that he's quicker, faster, more athletic than most in that position. And that's intriguing. You know, we saw him a little bit at defensive end on the left side in a 3-4. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays off as guys are healthy and what those roles are. And then Gronk, I mean, it's all we've talked about for a year when Gronk's
said,
out there.
Like you said, they were running him ragged. He was.
Sucking wind
running
down
routes,
in
yeah.
between.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say that I didn't love is the black brace was back on his arm.
Yeah.
After a week without it last week, it was back on his arm. And I was kind of hoping that was a thing of the past.
You want that to come off and stay off.
I do. Yeah. And I don't know if it's mental, physical at this point. I'm hoping it's not physical. I'm hoping it's a mental thing that he just feels more comfortable with it. But other than that, I thought yesterday was very interesting step forward health-wise. I also thought it was interesting, late in practice, during some special teams and other work on one field, a first offense came over on the field in front of us, and the offensive line was last year's offensive line, minus Vollmer, but that was sort of last year's offensive line. Cannon was at right tackle,
yeah.
But you had right guard Dan Conley, center Ryan Wendell, left guard Logan Mankins, left tackle Nate Solder. And, you know, we've seen all these different combinations and Devy and Klein and all this, but that group looked, and it was Tom Brady, and it was Edelman, Amendola, Tompkins at receiver with Dobson and whoever else.
LaFell.
I mean, LaFell behind him. I mean, the backs were the backs. It,
right.
It looked like this is our, whatever the number is, 18 guys that are considered first offense.
Right.
You know, even with a couple of the. So if that were the case, the offensive line might not be quite as different as we were starting to think it could be, because Conley's been the center.
Yeah.
For week plus 2 weeks now, it seems that he was just the center.
Well, to me, the only two positions that were up for grabs was the center and the right guard.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's two. I mean, that's 40% of your offensive line changing.
Right.
You go from either 100% continuity to only 60% continuity, you know, if they move around.
What I was hoping for at the beginning in the spring was that a guy like Stork comes in and just blows everybody away at center, takes that spot, and then you move Connolly to guard.
Well, I mean, he's been your guard for the last couple of years, but I've kind of written off Stork now.
Yeah,
he's a guy that's out there in a jersey, but he's doing the stepper, and
I know.
I'm starting to think IR for him, which you kind of need to do maybe anyway. You have these three rookies that I don't know if you can keep all of them, but I don't know if you can sneak. I don't think you could sneak Cameron Fleming or Stork onto the practice squad. I don't know about Jalapio or however you say it.
Yeah,
and another. Just unique thing there. Fleming has been a tackle all through college, and now to start his career here, yesterday he was playing right guard. So I don't know if that's if you're going to be our eighth, ninth offensive lineman, you got to have some versatility. You can't just be a right tackle. So we saw some of that yesterday. But for a last practice, there were some interesting nuggets out there.
All right, if people are wondering where Paul and Eric are, they're in locker room.
No one cares where Eric is.
You know, so the schedule, we're going to have to kind of play it by ear for the next couple of weeks as the Patriots kind of settle into a schedule. We're not quite sure on a daily basis when locker room access is going to be, when Bill Belichick's going to do his press conference, and when practice is going to be. I'm sure it's going to change between now and the first week of the season. So we're trying to keep the show at noon every Tuesday and Thursday, and, of course, starting the week of September 1st, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But you know, we'll see. We might have to make an adjustment as the season gets here and the Patriots let us know their daily schedule.
And today is a very interesting day because I do not recall too many times where it's open locker room and then Bill Belichick. We don't have that a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what it is today. It's 12 to 12:45 open locker room and then Bill and then out to practice. So a little different twist, and he keeps it. He seems like he tweaks it every year.
Yeah.
Early in his career here, it was, whatever it was, 10:30 press conference, open locker room was after.
Right.
And it was, you were done by noon. It worked perfectly for us. We went press conference. And then the last few years, he's kind of did it.
Well, it's the
few different ways.
It's all about screwing us.
It could be.
Yeah.
So tell him we need it at noon. We need him to do his press conference.
It's FOF. F over Fred.
Is that a real term?
Yeah.
You see that a lot.
Yeah, it's on the top.
Organizationally.
So we had a game since our last show on Friday night, and a lot better than the first preseason game. You know, the starters
except
got
the
out
officials.
There for Brady played a couple series. A lot of the starters played a little bit beyond that. And other than the interception that, you know, Brady threw early, which wasn't a Brady fault. That was a Steve Mannary fault.
Well, it was sort of a Brady fault. Why are we throwing to Steve Mannary?
Well,
you're never, ever going to throw to Steve Mannary. So don't throw to Steve Mannary.
You know what, though? If I want to see who this guy is
he's a tackle.
This is the time to do it.
He's a tackle.
All right. Anyway.
As I said on the post-game show presented by Xbox One, if we're ever resorting to throwing to Steve Mannary in meaningful situations, the season has gone down the crapper.
No, but we will be throwing to a tight end in a meaningful situation.
Yeah, named
situation.
Gronk or Hooman.
You know, so right
if we
now,
get to Mannary, it's
right
over.
Now, he's not out there, so you still have to run the play.
I don't.
It's preseason.
You had plenty of other options. Throw elsewhere.
Anyway, so other than that, Brady looked really good.
Yes.
And the backup quarterbacks, Mallett bounced back from a pretty dreadful game and looked as good as Garoppolo for our team.
Well, you kind of buried the lead there. First, the story, or one of the stories, is Garoppolo following Brady up.
Right.
Getting, as surprising as it may have been to some, getting the reps after Tom Brady.
I don't think when you think about it, it makes sense. Okay, last game we saw,
Do we need to start this show over? What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm forgetting the names of our backup quarterbacks. Last game, we saw Mallett with, you know, the twos, I guess you might call them. And this game, let's see what Garoppolo can do with that same group.
And it worked.
Yeah, I think.
He looked pretty good.
He did look pretty good.
Now, I don't think it's perfect, as is always the case. You know, the hype gets a little bit ahead of the reality. I still think there are times where he looks a little squirrelish, skittish, young quarterback-ish. I made the comparison to Matt Cassel. When he was good, there were still times where a play would break down and he would start to, he has enough athleticism that he can use it and kind of move around. It's not perfect, but it's his second preseason game coming from 1AA level. I thought there was growth. I thought there was improvement. I thought there was a lot to like. Yeah. And then Mallett, I thought, looked okay, better, not great, but better.
Yep.
You know, he scrambled a little bit, which certainly isn't how he's going to make his money in the NFL, running for touchdowns. But I thought everything advanced. I thought the offensive line was better. I thought the running game was better, even though Stephen Ridley issue has popped up a little bit again.
We'll talk about that.
But I thought they advanced nicely. And defensively, I thought, now it helps when you have...
Oh, defensively, I think it was night and day.
Well, because you had your players
right,
out there. I mean,
right.
You had all your linebackers and your defensive line.
You know, where they seem
there.
Lackluster and missing tackles, I think they were aggressive, especially in the point of attack. You know, so that was night and day. And again, personnel had everything to do with
right.
it, because later in the game, I think they were back to where they were in Washington.
Because Chris White and those guys,
right.
We've learned one thing. Chris White's a special teamer. Chris White is not very good on defense. If Chris White makes the team and plays special teams, I'll put him in the Maneri category. If he plays defense, things have gone down the crapper for you on defense.
Yep.
But, you know, I thought everybody advanced. Now, they went with a three-corner look. They didn't have a safety because Kyle Arrington wasn't playing safety when he was 15 yards downfield.
Oh, really?
Nope, that's what Bill says. Bill said it was inside coverage, a lot like what he always does, and not playing safety necessarily.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, we saw some little things there. We saw Revis out there for a little bit. You know, and it was a nice advancement to the second game.
Tim's
special teams sucked, so we'll ignore that.
Tim's continues to impress.
Yep.
I mean, this guy's athletic. He knows how to get up there and get that ball. And, you know, that was a highly contested catch that he made in the end zone, and he still came down with it.
Well, you know, he's Moss 2.0.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he won't be available till week five, but that's okay.
Well, wait a minute. Let's pump the brakes.
If he's
unfortunately,
on the team.
I mean, he's not the key to the offense.
No.
He's not even in the mix for the top four at all.
Well,
he's not.
LaFell, I think, is.
You know what he's in the mix for? In the AFC title game, we don't have to send Matthew Slater deep. Maybe we can send Brian Timms. That's what he's in the mix for. Can you pump the brakes on?
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's missing for the
don't
first.
Worry about
we'll
it.
Have to get by without Timms for a month.
Good
Lord.
LaFell, I think, continues to show improvement.
Yes.
I'm getting more confident in him. I don't know if Tom Brady is, but I certainly am.
I think he is.
Yep.
Now, it could be BS that he's just, you know, serving us up and we take it, but
right.
I do think he feels better about him over the last couple weeks and throwing him the ball. And I haven't seen early on, I thought early in camp, we saw the guy that was the scouting report, struggles with his hands, inconsistent hands. I think he has looked better for the last couple of weeks, and I haven't really seen a guy that has hand issues. Now, maybe it's just a good stretch for him, and I'm going to see him go the other way at some point. But, for example, I think Kenbrell Tompkins, to me, the other day had a Kenbrell Tompkins game. He had a very nice back shoulder fade touchdown. Beautiful. Same page as Brady. That's great. Then he had a sideline play that I think he should have got his toes in, and he didn't. It was poor body control. And then I believe he had a bad drop that went right through his hands. Like, it was sort of the whole thing, the whole inconsistent package.
Right.
Whereas LaFell, to me, over the last couple of weeks, has looked pretty damn good.
That's why I think LaFell has made it over Tompkins. I know Paul disagrees, but...
The problem is, they're both going to be on the team, first of all.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I think Tompkins... upside is better than LaFell. I think he's a little bit more athletic. I think he's a little bit better all around as a receiver. He's just not consistent enough in any of those things.
That's the thing. And, you know, you look back at the heyday of the Patriots, and you take a guy like David Givens. David Givens isn't going to catch 100 balls, but he was really reliable in clutch spots and athletic.
Yep.
And he made some big catches and some big moments that were tough catches.
Touchdowns in playoff
games.
That's
what you're looking for from a guy like Tompkins.
Third and 12, he'd run those little post corners and he'd be open.
Right.
And you're like, son of a bitch, he's open for 15 yards. You needed that. That's a big play to keep a drive alive.
So that's what you're looking for, and it's all about consistency. Because,
I'm
not going to go to you 15 times in the game. I'm going to go to you maybe five times, but they're going to be big spots.
And I would put... he evolved into maybe a little more, but Jabari Gaffney, I thought, was the same guy.
Yeah.
Can he come off the bench in the third quarter and catch a key third down?
Right.
Or in the red zone and catch
when
a play?
When everyone's keying on Gronkowski and Amendola
right.
and Edelman, we need you.
By the way, Edelman, I'm on board. I think Edelman's going to have a much better year. And I know that might sound crazy because he had 100 catches. And to me, he looks poised to become more of a playmaker. I really like the body control. I don't know if you've seen it. A couple different times, he did it a little bit in the game. He did it on a touchdown out on the practice field. He's learning to sort of screen the defender and uses and lean into him, not pushing off.
Right.
I think it'll be hard to get called, but just sort of lean back and then catch it out in front.
If you don't extend your arms, they're not going
right.
to call it.
And yeah. I'm intrigued. I think his yards per catch are going to go up. I think he's due for some more big plays. I think Edelman, okay. you know, the old thing, if he stays healthy,
right.
big year.
You're catching on.
No, see, I don't just say it about everybody like you do.
He can never
Everybody's great.
You can never let it go. running backs. We do have to talk about
Devlin.
Devlin, but we have to talk about the final carry by Ridley that he fumbled. He might have been down, but it doesn't matter, really. He
the
lost the
loose.
Ball.
The ball's loose.
Yeah.
The specifics of the situation, a guy who... confidence is a problem for the coaching staff, obviously. That was his last play. Now, you could argue he would have been done anyway. He had
right.
That was his last play. We've seen that a lot before. Go to the sideline. Don't come back. I don't think it was his last play, because if you go back and watch the tape, a play or two after that, he runs about five steps on the field like he wanted back in like you wouldn't believe.
Oh.
And I think he was out. He was out of the mix. You're done.
Wow.
You fumbled.
And it's a shame because he was running well.
Yep. Had a very, very
you know?
Good game.
Oh.
But it's a story of his career.
I know.
And at what point do you just say...
And at what point is he damaged goods? Is he thinking so much about that it's limiting his running style?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, as it is, he's running, you know, with both hands on the ball, crisscrossed across his chest. How much mobility do you have to make a cut when you're like that?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation for him personally. It's also an unfortunate situation for the team, because I don't think they have a backup running back.
No, and you guys don't like Bolden. He flashed in the game, but...
He had one run. It was a very nice run off the left side, a little hesitation, and then burst, and he got, whatever it was, 17 yards. It was a nice run.
Both Finch looked pretty good, but he's not going to be in every day.
He has to make the team as a returner, and then anything else he gets, as Bill likes to say, comes off of that. He might get third down chances, and if he makes the most of those, okay, you'll get a couple more. But I'm talking about if you need to hand the ball off 15 to 18 times, who's doing it if it's not Ridley?
Well, it's a game of Finches.
It's not. And that's terrible.
And then White.
Only in a Finch can you use him. Hey, I stole my line.
And then, you know, White, you know, he's okay, but he's.
Yeah, I'm not confident having to do it with him. I still think the guy who comes after Ridley is not on the team. I still think he's in a different city right now, and he'll be here later. We've posed Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who is supposedly sort of on the bubble maybe in Cincinnati. I still think there's going to be a veteran back brought in at some point.
Yeah.
And I've also, we've sort of talked about maybe you trade Ridley. You know, we use the comparison Lawrence Maroney. Remember we traded him in week two, I think, to McDaniels in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ridley gets traded in week two, and maybe you can steal a back there. You know, I don't want to be rude, but a garbage-for-garbage trade. Some other running back has sort of fallen out of favor for maybe a different reason. Maybe you can swap and start over. You know, Bethel Johnson, Jonathan Sullivan type deal or any one of those.
Yeah.
But to me, it's for a team that...
I think you'd have a better shot at trading a guy like Timms for a running back. You know, a team that really needs some...
But a running back is easy to trade because, boom, he gets there and he runs.
No,
he's a 1,000-yard back. He's been in. I mean, how many touchdowns does he have? He's been a touchdown machine.
Yeah.
There are things to like about Stephen Ridley. There's one major thing to dislike.
Right.
Fumbles.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's stories of guys who have gotten better at it. We all talk about Kevin Falk and Tiki Barber. You know, maybe it's a change of scenery, change of the way he's treated.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't work here. Maybe he knows if I fumble, I'm out and there's pressure, whatever. But I wouldn't be stunned to see a trade for him.
Brian Morey over at the Hall sent us a chart.
Interesting.
If I can find it, I'll share it, and I can't.
Basically, the idea of the chart was fumbling didn't matter as much apparently as or the way we look at people a while ago. He compared the first three seasons of a lot of players and their fumble rate. And
here, I got it. I have it right here.
So go over some of the greats who fumbled a lot early in their career.
So. Open this as a Word document. Okay, so, for example, Curtis Martin. one every 86 touches.
Okay.
He fumbled.
But there's much worse, better guys.
Barry Sanders, one every 52. Adrian Peterson, now again, this is
First three seasons,
one every 51. Marshall Faulk, one every 64. Kevin Faulk, we know, remember he had the problems, one every 33.
Correct.
So there's a guy who really had a problem that we're very familiar with. Now, modern day guys.
What about Peyton? Wasn't Peyton in there?
Yeah, Peyton, one every 31 carries.
That's Walter Peyton.
Emmett Smith, one every 58. O.J. Simpson, one every 36. John Riggins, a guy that you don't think about fumbling, one every 43. Jim Brown, I think the greatest ever, one every 58. Eric Dickerson, one every 31. Marcus Allen, 32. Dorsett, 31. I mean, these are all guys that are considered one of the great. Franco Harris. Do you think of fumbling when you think of Franco Harris? His first 3 years, one every 27. One every 27.
That's amazing. I mean, that's literally a fumble at the very least every two games.
Yep.
Because you're a traditional running back. You're getting 30 carries in two games.
So based on what you just heard, what would you think Ridley would be at?
Well, I already know the answer.
I know.
So I can't tell you.
It's one every 64.
Right.
Okay.
But now you need to compare them to the modern days.
Okay, so now the guys we just mentioned are, like Andy said, the greats, but they weren't modern-day guys. Modern-day guys that we consider, you know, the best. LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, one every 160 carries. Chris Johnson, little guy, right?
Speedy little guy.
One every 152 carries.
Jamaal Charles.
Jamaal Charles. Now, he's about the same, one every 67.
Right. But he's not the same because he's giving you elite playmaking.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right, you live with it.
But McCoy, you're talking about the NFL rushing leader last year. Now, this is a little different, but you're talking about modern-day guys. He fumbles three times as often, right?
Marshawn Lynch, one every 106 carries.
So
that's the thing right there. Martin, I mentioned
him. Yeah, you did that.
Now,
what I would also say is Ridley, when he in this offense, you can't fumble because you're running into a soft run defenses because generally people still are going to say, I'm going to stop the pass. I'm going to stop Tom Brady and Gronkowski. So Marshawn Lynch, at the very least, is running into run defenses.
Right.
You know, Adrian Peterson is running into run defenses, 8-9 guys in the
Matt
box.
Forte, one every 98.
Right.
You know, so.
And the other issue with those guys. I don't know if Brian did this, but I'm assuming he only did fumbles and touches. Matt Forte catches 100 passes.
He did receptions. Jamaal
Charles catches 100 passes.
Yep.
Ridley catches like 10 passes.
He did both the carries and the receptions.
Right. Cuz sometimes you fumble on a pass, it's easier to fumble, right?
Yep. Sure.
So, I believe he had a fumble on a pass, didn't he, last year on the sideline when he turned it up and they got knocked out? Cool. Ridley?
Yes, he did.
And that's one actually Bill gave him off. He kind of said that was, you know, not much he could do.
A huge hit. Yeah.
So when you take away Ridley's playmaking, when you take away that he's not a pass catcher, and when you add in the fact that he's playing against soft run defenses, defenses that are generally trying to stop the pass, to me, he even has less of a window of acceptance for fumbles. So, and I think that's why it gets magnified, because the numbers aren't good. And he shouldn't be as bad as he is doing it. The problem is, he's been as bad as he is for 3 years in the NFL and for his time in college. It's sort of who he is at this point.
Yep. All right, so I thought that was interesting, and thank you, Brian Morey, for compiling that. I don't know if we'll put it up on the web. Maybe we'll use it within a story.
He made me laugh. I don't think this is really appropriate for the Hall blog. Obviously not. Like, we're going to rip a starter and say he doesn't measure up to other Hall of Fame. Like, what's the angle there, Brian?
So I thought that was interesting. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500, toll free. It was a good pre- and post-game show, our first of the season, the pre-game social.
Second.
Oh, right.
first home
game. Pre-game social and the post-game with Mark Bertrand. I thought it was nice to have
nice
you guys.
Nice interview with Jimmy Devlin.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about Devlin. We spent some more time about Devlin.
A little double clutch catch in the last game.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
See that touchdown catch over the shoulder?
Yeah.
I mean, if Shane Vereen did that, we would have had five more big plays last year.
Do you think this could be something real? Or is this no?
Well, we talked about it post game. I think he could be an extra weapon. You know, I joked, he's not Larry Centers. He's not going to go out and catch 100 balls. But I threw the name out, Mark Edwards. Occasionally, Mark Edwards would catch a pass, make a play, do something that helps you offensively. If the teams are going to go after Gronk and Edelman, he's like that extra guy.
Right.
But if he can do that with it, that matters. That maximizes his opportunities.
Yeah.
I like him.
Hey, I like having that halfback option. I know he's a fullback, but having that guy coming out of the backfield in space.
And he's looked good. I mean, since he's, and I'm talking about drills, he looks like a pretty soft-handed athletic receiver.
Yeah.
You know, he belies sort of the neck roll and the just big bruising fullback. He looks okay.
And he admitted to you that he just wears a neck roll.
Badass.
You know, yeah, just to look good.
But, you know, I'm not going to jump right to the Mike Allstott comparisons. You know, people are like, because he looks like it, you know, the big white guy with the neck. But
yeah, Allstott carried the ball.
Well, Allstott was a ball carrier in college. Remember how often? I mean, he was the heart of the offense.
Right.
This is the guy that'll get his one catch, one carry a game, and likes to blow people up, and that's good. He can help out Ridley or whoever's back there. But it's just it's that seventh weapon or wherever it comes in on the list. But you can count on him when you have to turn to him. He might be able to help you more than say Matthew Mulligan or Zach Sudfeld, who was that extra weapon who, when you gave him the chance, screwed it up.
All right, lots of emails coming in, lots of calls. Let's go to the phone lines. Andrew is first up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Fred.
Hey.
What's up, Andrew?
Not much. Just looking at the game again because I recorded it. I know we can't read much into the preseason, but the kicking, like the field goals with Gostkowski, I think it's been a problem in that game. He missed a, I think like a 43-yard or 45, and he missed one last week in the other preseason game. That's going to be an issue going into the season because he's been missing a couple of field goals last year, and I feel like he's not being consistent.
Well, he had a good year last year. I think this year it could – something bears watching as you go into the regular season, but he had a very good year last year. I'm not going to criticize anything he did last year. I think he had the most field goals in his career. He was second in the league with a million touchbacks. He had a good year. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to have a good year this year. He's a kicker. These things happen. It's like a middle reliever. You know, the next year they can struggle. And I think he bears watching. He missed the field goal the other night. He doinked the extra point, the long extra point, the but I'm not ready to consider that he could. And remember, he was dealing at different times with different long snappers, and we've kind of ended that thing. Ott is out. But in terms of special teams, he's the least of my concerns so far. Ryan Allen missed that snap that went right through his hands. That's the second time in not that many snaps dating back to last year that we've seen Ryan Allen chasing down balls behind him and having to look up at the big screen to see if anybody's going to kill him. I think Aiken has struggled late last year and a little bit to start this year, and the return game to me hasn't been overly special. So I'm not as worried about Gostkowski as you are.
Yeah, I hear you. Just one question, too. Like when teams kick the extra point after a touchdown, are they moving the ball between the hash marks depending on where they score in the end zone?
That's a great question.
Where is the placement of an extra point?
I assume it's in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I don't think it.
I've seen a couple of them to the left, and that's kind of that's worrying.
It might be a kicker preference.
Allow that.
Yeah, I
that's going to give kickers a run for their money.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry. And we,
Kevin,
should,
maybe you Google how do they determine placement for extra point kicks?
And we should say it's over now. That was the experiment.
But even when they do the short one, you know, how is that determined?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you guys for taking my call.
All right, Andrew. Andrew in Buffalo. Let's go to Antoine in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Andy.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I love the conversation that you had to open up the show about the running backs because that's a position that's intrigued me, and I know you kind of said it where you said, you know, if there's someone that's on the roster but on another team, you could pick that person. I'm not really feeling that option because I just, whenever I think about that, I think about Trent Richardson, how he went from the Browns to the Colts and then didn't do nothing. So I really want to know if James White could be that guy because I really don't see really staying all 16 games of the regular season. And not fumbling and not being an issue like that. And the big thing with him is he does it at crucial times when we don't need the fumble.
Yeah, he's had some in the red zone of late. Certainly the other day was not a great time, even though it's a preseason game. I'm not ready to say James White is ready to be that guy yet. He may be. He may be for a two-game stretch or something like that at some point this year. I think he's probably a little bit more ready than that than Vereen. Vereen has been strictly a third-down back since he's been here for the most part. But even he, at his last year at Cal, was basically an every-down back. I believe that was, you know, Javid Best got hurt, and he took over sort of the whole shebang. But James White has been sharing time at Wisconsin. So it's not something I think any of these guys are really suited for. It's kind of why I tried to talk myself into Steven Houston. Now, he's long since been cut and obviously wasn't ready for it, but I was trying to talk myself into who could be the backup running back. Fred's right. I'm not a Bolden guy. I don't really see the fascination there with him. So you may not like the idea, but I still think there's a chance that the best running back for the backup role is not here. And we've seen it over the years. I mean, Mike Cloud and Heath Evans and Robbie Abdullah and the guys they've brought in here, you know, to be just fill-in type guys, and a lot of times they've had success.
Mm-hmm. All right, Antoine. Okay, thanks for the call.
I believe he said he had one more question, and you hung up.
I'm sorry. Kevin, you wrote this, but it got cut off on the studio chat box. Why don't you just tell us?
So you're wondering about, like, where the ball is placed on the hashes?
How do they determine it?
So each kicker, when the ball is placed at the 15 for the long extra point, gets to pick which hash it can snap from.
Okay.
So it's their preference.
Kicker preference.
And does it have to be a hash, or can it be middle?
No, it has to be a hash.
Okay.
And then the ball goes in the middle on the dot
if
they're going for two.
Right. Okay.
All right. Very good.
So what do we make of it now that we've come to a conclusion here?
Make of what?
The PAT?
I think they should keep it long.
There were more misses.
Yep. I think it went up 5%, the misses in preseason from last year. Paul doesn't believe that. He yelled at me yesterday.
He did. But he yells at everything now. That's how he is.
He's no matter what the stats and the facts say, he's going to tell me it makes no difference.
Right. He was arguing with, I believe, Gil Brandt had tweeted it, and you said it, and he was like, screw it. Like, he's yelling at
Gil Brandt.
Right.
All he's doing is writing down the numbers.
Right. I have no problem with it either way, really. I've never been all that worried about the extra points, but if they want to move it, I think it's fine. Go with it.
I mean, as it is, we're talking 98% to 93%. So it's still a very high made rate. But, hey, you know, I think it adds a little bit of intrigue. Let's go to Maurice in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mo?
Hey, I was the one that called about Brandon LaFell. I was the one that said he catches and whatnot. I don't know if you guys.
Right, you didn't like him.
Right.
No, I liked him. I'm from South Carolina, and I saw a lot of the Carolina games. And he's going to get open, like I said, but the question is he going to catch it? And the chances are it's 50-50, and that's the chance we have to take.
Well, if it's 50-50, I don't like that.
No, and nor will Brady.
The most I'll settle for is 30-70. You know, where 70 is the catch rate.
Well, we have to wait and see. But my question to you guys is, I'm intrigued by Brian Timms.
Yep.
If it came down to Boyce and Timms, who would you keep on the roster?
Timms. I'm done with Boyce.
Also, if Dobson is our legitimate outside threat, I think you're going to have to keep Timms on the team, too, even if he rides the pines throughout the season, because we can't depend on Dobson. If he keeps getting injured, and if he does get injured, we can bring Timms in the game, and he can be like the unsung hero. Because I think this guy can make plays for us. I wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Hey, I mean, I've been impressed with his athleticism. He seems to have caught on pretty quick.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
But we need to remember there have been wide receivers, you know, Quentin Sims, what's the flat top guy? Underwood.
Oh, but Tyquan Underwood. I didn't see either of those guys do what this guy's done in so short a period.
Maybe not.
I'm talking about battling with a receiver a defensive guy on his hip and coming up with the catch.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that a lot in these.
He learned from Moss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has 4 years in the NFL, so maybe he has reached his peak.
Well, that's but to me, that's a pro or a con. Is it a bad thing that he's in his mid-20s already and right. you're still kind of on that verge, and is he good enough?
Well, the thing is, I think he's good enough to get us to where we need to go. The question is, are we going to wait on the young receivers with Tom Brady having, what, a few years left? Or are we going to wait on Dobson?
Yeah, I'll be honest.
He's going to be good.
The question you asked me, Boyce or Timms, I would go Timms at this point. I have seen nothing from Josh Boyce to lead me to believe he's really he's not that good as a kick returner in the slight chances. I don't think he's as fast on the field as he supposedly is on a 40 time or any of that. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, with Boyce, I feel like it would be great, but I think I can get that open field stuff from Amendola. I think I can get it from Edelman. You know, I think I can get it from Vereen.
And Timms is different.
And Timms is different.
Even if Dobson is good, well, now you have a backup to that kind of role or whatever.
Before I get off, so do you think he will make the roster? Because we need him. I like him. Do you think Belichick will keep him on the roster?
I think he'll be here till October. He's suspended for the first four games, so you kind of benefit where you don't have to put him on the 53, reserve suspended, and then come October, you make a decision. Do you activate him on the roster? Do you sneak him through to the practice squad? Maybe that's easier. You sneak him through to the practice squad.
Does he have eligibility?
I believe he does.
He's not going to make it through the practice squad.
Well,
he has to take him.
Maybe.
Right, Brian will have his eyes on him. Yeah.
That's a possibility, but I think there's a chance he's going to be on the team. I do. Because I think Finch might make it as a returner,
Maurice.
And that makes it easier to get rid of Boyce if you had Finch as an athlete and a returner, and then Timms in October is ready to play receiver. Another guy, by the way, that I think is interesting in terms of roster timing is Jarrell Worthy. You just traded for him. He's a former second-round pick, so there is some physical hype talent there. But you only have a week till the first cut. We should mention that. First cut next Tuesday. The cut after that is the 30th, which is Saturday, I believe.
Right.
So you have a very short period of time here to get Worthy up to speed, first of all. He hadn't practiced at all in Green Bay. And to decide whether you think he's worthy of sticking around. So is he a guy that makes it merely because you can't make a decision? Maybe he's a guy that he fills the roster spot of a guy like Browner. Right? You know Browner's coming in October. You keep Worthy for a month to decide is he worth it or not. I just think that's, and now the problem is you lose the draft pick if he makes the roster. You traded a 7th conditional on him making the roster. So you could potentially make the roster, lose the pick, and then cut him a couple weeks later. But I mean, how do you know within 7 days or whatever that you want to keep the guy?
It's tough.
I mean, that's a quick decision.
It is. Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, man. I'm high on Timms, too, and I think it's a real advantageous situation to have these four games to work with in terms of the suspension. It's a very unique situation. Just to comment quickly on LaFell, you know, I've been concerned about his hands, too, but, man, that touchdown catch showed some excellent concentration, and whether it reached him by default or not, that was a tough catch, man.
Yeah, that came through some arms.
Yeah, it was deflected, changed direction. Yeah, yeah. I actually think that helped him catch it in some level because I think the corner kind of lost the ball where he stayed on it.
Right, and when was the last time we've seen a receiver catch a route in the back of the end zone like that? I think it's been a while, so I was pleased to see that. Regarding Ridley and these fumbles, number one, you know, I think he was down just like many do. What concerns me is that, you know, his comment came out recently that he had a sick feeling in his stomach after this, and, you know, knowing that there was, you know, that it was, in fact, you know, probably down, you know, this could have been an easy opportunity for him to slough it off, just get back up and try to keep going. You know, to me, with Ridley, it's not about the frequency of them happening and, you know, comparing him to old-time running backs. You know, I don't know if that's apples or oranges, but, you know, to me, it's two other aspects. Number one, they happen in critical situations, or they seem to happen in critical situations. It seems like whenever we get momentum, a Ridley fumble has killed, you know, that momentum in the past, and I think that's what's deflating as a fan to me. You know, number two, it's a lot of fumbles lost. I mean, look, you can fumble the ball, but, you know, and whether that's lucky or not, it just seems like he has terrible luck in terms of losing fumbles, and again, that just magnifies and fans of flames that much more. But, you know, question on my mind is, man, who can we land in terms of a free agent to get some sort of depth there? Got to say, James Devlin's interview after on the post game was awesome. Just super humble, just saying, you know, I'm a fullback and that's who I am. But I want to see more from him. You know, he's a lunch pail guy. He's a fighter, and I think you know, whether it's running or receiving the ball, I just like to see him in niches. It reminds me in a different way of a Danny Woodhead. You know, change of pace guy, a guy that you may not be expecting to make an impact at a certain point in the game. Lastly, thinking about safety also, you know, I've been talking a lot about looking for guys with attitude, guys that are going to be gritty and fight. I love how Chung looks in that respect, but I don't want to see him in coverage. And I'm hearing more and more talk about him potentially, emerging as a starter there. I'm afraid that's going to be a mistake. I'm just really worried about him being a liability in coverage. I say let's go with Harmon. I really like this Malcolm Butler kid, too, in terms of, having some depth there. I really hope he makes the roster. But, at the end of the day, so far in camp, going into the third week, I love that we have a lot of players out there with something to prove. I want guys out there ready to fight. And, I'm hoping that we can infuse guys like Tim's, guys that are looking to establish themselves in this league and hopefully bring in more of that willingness to fight onto this team. But that's all I got for now, guys. Hope you have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Chester from Portland.
Bringing it.
Yep. Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Just really excited about the depth, particularly on the offense. I like what I'm seeing. You get Gronk back up there with a healthy Amendola and Edelman, and, you don't need guys like LaFell and Devlin to be stars. You need them to be pieces, and you need them to make plays in spots. And hopefully we have that in these guys.
Yeah.
And Dab Dobson, we haven't even, his first practice was yesterday, right?
Yep.
So you haven't seen that. That I feel really good about. What I don't feel so good about is that safety position that was just mentioned. I know what Revis back there, but I don't feel good about that spot because you saw again, and you guys mentioned in the post-game show, they got killed over the middle.
Yep.
That just really concerns me.
As it should, because that tight end now, Eagles have a good tight end, but, a lot of teams are going to have a good tight end, and if they know that, Patrick Chung or that safety spot is your weakness, they're going to target it.
Yeah. Yeah, like we do. We go after teams,
yep.
and it's becoming more of a tight end league, but, Arrington was playing safety, all due respect.
No. It was inside coverage. The duties were the same.
Yeah.
No. He always, when he's in the slot, you don't see him. He's usually 15 yards downfield.
And Mayo wasn't out there, so.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud. What does Paul like to say? He pisses on our head and tells us it's raining.
It's raining, yep. And I had a quick question about the tablets.
Yeah.
Are those, it's a stupid question, but can you use those in like the rain and the snow, and can you use them without gloves?
That's a good question. I know
they definitely use them without gloves.
They make those tactile gloves that are specifically for touch screens. It has a little thing in the tip. So Andy's laughing. So maybe they'll give him that.
I like that one.
I don't know.
Well,
foul weather is interesting.
Did I not see? I thought I saw some people using a pen or whatever they call that.
A stylus. Yeah.
I thought
stylus.
I saw some of those out there. The weather question is an interesting one.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Because I don't believe they're Microsoft Surface tablets is what they are through Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I haven't, Microsoft, I know some like Verizon tablets advertise as being weather.
So I got a real good look at them because I'm down there, and they look like they're in, those life-proof cases for your iPhone?
Yeah.
They look like they're in a similar.
I bet you they are. It's a pretty big case.
Yeah, they're probably in a waterproof case.
I don't have one of the life-proof ones because they're really expensive, but my girlfriend got one for Christmas. They were like $80 for your iPhone 5.
Right. I think Otter makes them.
Yeah. And you could actually take her phone. We were at the beach last month, and you can take her phone underwater and take pictures with
it,
which is ridiculous. Yeah. So the cases that the iPads had that blue hard
Microsoft
shell covering,
Surface.
Yeah, on the bottom. So I think it's a similar case to that.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be because it's not like, it's raining. Oh, we can't use pictures today.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
Christian.
Thanks, Christian. All right. Good question. It's interesting. Every time you introduce something new to the sideline or the way things have been done, there's all these other questions that kind of pop up.
Well, it was like on EEI when I asked Bill if they were going to be, if you lose yours, does the other team have to lose theirs? And he said he wasn't sure, but he didn't think so. Because it's the same with the coach to QB communication. It's not like the total headsets where if you lose your press box headsets, both sides have to lose them. They have to level the playing field. But the QB ones, they don't do that, and he doesn't think they'll do it with the tablets. If you lose your Surface, your SOL, the other team can still use theirs.
Really?
Yeah, he believes. He wasn't sure. He was going to check on the fine print of it, but he thought it was going to be you didn't have to match it, basically.
Interesting.
I also think that it's going to pass. It's a passing fad right now. I think more players are looking at pictures on the sideline and spending more time looking at them than they ever have. Now, maybe it's because it's better and you can zoom and it's better quality, or maybe because it's new and because, you know, like Will Fork sitting there like zooming in. He's looking at, like, usually you see the coach holding it up and they kind of give it a glance and then they move on. I'll be interested to see a month into the season, 2 months, if players are still so intently zooming and looking at it and all. By the way, keep an eye on the broadcast Friday. I think we're going to try to do a little something on the surfaces during the preseason game.
Okay, cool. Denise from Bristol, Connecticut. Do you think that the stricter rule changes regarding defending receivers is a direct result of Peyton Manning losing the Super Bowl?
Yep.
I.e., rule changes made after Patriots intercepted him so many times in the 2003 AFC Championship game. It seems whenever Peyton Manning loses critical games, the rules get changed to help quarterbacks get more completions.
Yep, that's exactly what I said on the preseason broadcast.
We didn't talk about all the flags, 21 flags accepted, 29 called. I know, and it's not just the Patriots game. It's throughout the preseason. And the league warned everybody about this. They're going to try to, you know, ingrain the new techniques and the new enforcements in preseason so that they don't have to do it during the regular season. And they predict that there won't be as many flags during the regular season.
Right.
But we'll see.
And that's fine. The thing that I find interesting is, and this, I guess, would only affect maybe certain very specific cases, but if you think about it, and you're Malcolm Butler, you're fighting for a job right now under different rules than you would be asked to perform the job in the regular season, theoretically.
Yeah, but everybody else is doing it the same way.
Yeah, but Darrell Revis doesn't care if he gets flagged. Darrell Revis is going to be on the roster.
True.
Isn't it possible that a guy gets, well, you're too physical, you can't cover without touching people, so I can't keep you? Well, no, because I might be able to touch him like Ty Law does and Darrell Revis does in the regular season. And I don't care for the whole idea that it's just going to change once the regular season comes. Is it a rule or isn't it a rule?
Right.
Are we going to emphasize it or are we not going to emphasize it? Are you worried about losing viewers or not worried about losing viewers? I don't like the idea that the referee parry saying, you know, we're probably going to have about 20, 25 a game now.
In other words,
and then there'll
if
be less
a penalty
in
preseason, it should be a penalty during the regular season.
And if it's not worthy of being a penalty in the regular season, then it's not worthy of being a penalty in the preseason.
Right.
Business is being done.
That's the whole thing that you'd ask any player or coach. It's, they're just looking for consistency, being able to anticipate what, you know, and they hate it when it varies from play to play, really.
And Bill Belichick was one of the penalized after the...
Did we find out, like, what he was upset about?
Well, he was upset that he was never given an option because it was pass interference in coverage of Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman caught the football. Now, it's a minor thing, but you could pick up 3 or 4 yards on the catch as opposed to when he was interfered with.
Right.
And he wasn't given the option. Nothing was explained to him, and he wasn't given the option to take the catch or the penalty. My understanding is the reason he was flagged is because he left the box. You know, coaches are technically supposed to stay in the, what is it, 40 to 40 or 30 to 30, and he left the box. And I'm sure he could have been flagged for other things like F-bombs that he was spewing and maybe going too long after the guy tells him, okay, enough is enough.
Right.
But my understanding is the flag came out because he was coming down the field, and Bill said, I'm coming down the field because nobody gave me an effing option.
Dan writes in San Antonio, how about Johnny Football? Can this kid be any more of a douchebag? I'm sure you guys saw him flip the bird on live TV like the rest of America.
Yep.
I remember last year, even Tom Brady mentioning his attitude as well. I hope this kid chokes in the NFL and fades into obscurity where he belongs.
Yeah, I've seen enough. I'm done with him.
Really?
DB, not as fast as he thinks he is to beat ends and pass rushers in the NFL, and not accurate. I saw a good tweet that I liked last night. Do you know who Mike Evans is?
Mike Evans, no.
That was his receiver at A&M,
receiver. Yeah, of course, I wanted him.
You know, the tweet was, and this is like what Johnny Football is thinking, where's Mike Evans, where's Mike Evans, where's Mike Evans?
Right,
oh,
right.
Crap. Because he used to just throw it up. Mike Evans would make a lot of plays.
True.
You can't get away with that as much in the NFL. And to me, he's already shown he's not a great decision maker on any level, whether it's on the football field or off of it. And he's not all that accurate, and I don't think he's athletic enough to do what he thinks he can do.
And as Peter King said, as a result of what happened last night, you can get to him. You can get in his head.
I enjoyed the Redskins doing the money sign on the first sack of the game, Brian Arakpo. Love it. Give him everything. Yeah. He's a DB.
You know what, though? I hope he does well.
I don't.
Because it's good for the league. I think the league needs more personalities. I agree
with that. Yeah. they suck the personalities out of the game.
Right.
You know, Jimmy Graham dunks, so you're not allowed to do that.
And the only way he's going to get away with his personality if he is good.
Right.
If he's not good, they won't tolerate it.
Now, the Browns' problem is they don't have a quarterback, because Hoyer wasn't all that good last night either. Yeah. And I don't think Hoyer is a starting quarterback.
Let's see. A lot of emails here.
Yeah, pressure reads
through. Tony writes in, while I'm concerned about tight end, linebacker, and defensive line depth, I am out and out worried about wide receiver and offensive line. I know TB12 is pumping the tires of Tompkins, but do you really think he's a legit number two on a Super Bowl contender?
Nope.
I don't. For that matter, I don't think Dobson, whether because of injury or play, has shown he's a number one or number two either.
Nope.
Is Boyce a mere placeholder until Tim's returns in week 5? Would the Pats consider keeping an extra running back? Finch, knowing they have Tims in week 5.
Yep. What I did on my roster projection.
Impressions of O-line. Don't think I've seen enough out of the unit to allay the concerns that it is vulnerable to physical and or quick defensive lines that has given it so much trouble over the years.
Did he not mention safety and anywhere on his list?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's
But really, think about, though, the wide receiver one. Is Tompkins or Dobson a number two? Well, they're not on this team as it is. Amendola and Edelman are your one and two wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And Gronk is your number one target.
Right.
So there's three guys that are bigger targets for Brady before you even get to the Tompkins and the Timms and LaFells. And I personally think LaFell is your number four target, or he's going to be your number four target over Tompkins and everyone else.
And you mix in a running back, maybe Vereen as a target.
Right. I'm not concerned. I understand what you're saying about number two and a Super Bowl contender, but I don't think Tompkins needs to be a number two.
Fred
is
not concerned.
I'm not.
That'll summarize every topic you want to email in. Fred is not concerned.
Not about that.
Fred is not concerned.
Not about that. Speaking of people who are concerned, Paul Perillo just came back from the locker room.
You won't like him when he's angry.
So we'll get the locker room report from Paul Perillo. Hey, Paul.
What's up? Why am I, what are you guys angry about? Why are you angry?
We're not angry.
Oh.
You are.
Well, why are we speaking? Why am I angry?
I don't know. Fred said Gil Brent tweeted something and you yelled at him.
Oh, jeez. I just don't think it was accurate. That's all.
Oh, well. Anyway, so Paul, what the locker room looked the same as last year?
No.
Really?
No. Quite different.
Yeah?
It's really threw me off.
Really?
Players are all over the place.
Movement, yeah.
Oh, players have moved to all different areas in the locker room.
Structure, is it the same?
Oh, yeah. It's the same room.
Okay.
But, yeah, specialists are at the front wall. As you walk in to your left, it's Gostowski, Ryan Allen, and Aiken. And
so that's where I'll chat most of the time.
Used to be some defensive linemen down there.
Right.
Will Fork and Chandler Jones, those guys used to be right immediately to your right when
you walked in.
They're on the opposite end to the left, so I was all, it took me 10 minutes to get acclimated.
Wow.
I have no idea where everybody is now, but I guess there was a lot of movement. One player, who I will not name, during the spring, thought he had been cut.
Really?
Yeah, when he came in and his spot was in a different spot.
His heart must have skipped a beat.
So,
which player?
I'm not telling you. So, anyway.
Jake Beckett.
Brady asked us what we were doing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in.
What are you guys doing in here?
He comes in. Revis was talking, and it wasn't a huge media crowd today. I mean, it was a lot of media, but comparatively speaking for training camp, I didn't think it was as many as normal, but almost everybody that was in the locker room was talking to Revis. Eric was in there. I was in there for a little bit. I came out, and then I was just kind of standing off to the side with Jalice from the Globe, and Brady comes in. He's like, "What are you guys doing in here?" It was like, "This wasn't supposed to be open today."
And I bet you he really didn't know.
No, I don't think he did. And I asked him literally like a half hour later. I was walking out, and he happened to be standing right next to me. And I said, "What time you want to see it tomorrow?"
You should have said.
He goes off to check with
Stacey. You should have said really loud. PR didn't tell you that we were coming in, and then,
Yeah, that's...
They would all freak out.
I'm the angry one. He wants to intentionally start fights. I'm the angry one.
So that was it? That's the news out of the...
Mayo in there?
Mayo was in there, and he did speak today. He told everybody, I said I would... I told you guys I would get you tomorrow. Would not... He said it was nothing... Pretty sure he said it was not injury-related. Someone asked him if he was dealing with anything. No. And then people asked him, well, you know, was it something off the field? And he's like, you have to ask Coach Belichick. And so the inference to me was it was not physical, and he was not going to get it. It was probably something in his personal life, and he just wasn't comfortable getting into it. He was very cordial, and then he spoke about the Panthers game and stuff like that. He ended up talking for about 5 minutes. Gerard's pretty short with his answers.
Yes, he is.
To which then he was asked by somebody how it was, what he remembers about defending Cam Newton last year. Three, two, one. Did he defend Cam Newton last year?
Oh no!
Everybody,
right?
Don't hold him back when you know the answers.
Right.
Who asked him that?
I think you can. I'll give you one guess.
Of the several that
there's only one.
Eric.
No. But anyway,
and Eric just walked in.
It was not Eric.
Rags.
Yes.
To riches.
Who else? I talked to the safeties. I got a chance to get my safety.
Now, did you talk to the
on.
Safeties or the inside coverage guys?
Both.
Oh, okay,
both.
Good.
I talked to Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty, and I also talked to Logan Ryan.
See, because I don't actually
know
what Harmon plays.
Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty are actually safeties. Ryan's an inside coverage guy.
Maybe we're just all inside coverage guys now.
So anyway. And there was a fair amount of activity in there, but nothing earth-shattering that I heard.
Wonder why they moved all the players.
McCourty was funny. They asked him, you know, everybody seemed to move, but the defensive back stayed in the same spot, and he said that shows our importance.
And the linebackers.
You're 26 on third down defense. How important could you be? I'll show you what showed your importance.
Hightower, they got Revis. Those guys were still in the same
They're
corner.
In the same spot.
Eric's here. Eric,
what was the shot you took at me?
He said somebody asked Mayo, you know, what it was like defending
Cam Newton
last year. And
Mayo
didn't play. And I go, who asked that? And he goes, I'll give you one guess. And I said,
Eric.
Eric. And you walked in at that exact time.
You are a bastard. That's what you are.
You're a bastard. A-hole.
What what was your take of the locker room, Eric?
Active.
Very
much
active.
So.
I agree. Yeah.
A good start to the season.
What do you have
the
in
the locker room seat?
No, I asked him a question and he put some food in his mouth.
No, I.
What are you sucking on? Is it a hard candy?
You didn't get any food.
Is it
huh?
A lozenges?
I know it's my turn to buy.
I was hoping
you'd hook me up.
No, I thought it was a good start. It was a good start, but I have a feeling, as it always does, it will.
Well, now they know.
Precipitously.
They didn't know you were going to be in there. So
well,
they
according
were there.
To Tom, they didn't know we were going to be in there.
And now they know.
Right.
They'll be out
right.
In their new digs, which are now more spacious and greater places to get lost.
I am curious as to why there was such turnover in the locker arrangements.
Yeah. I think it all happened when Revis supposedly cleaned out his locker and stormed out. And they said, we might as well move stuff around.
When Revis?
I mean,
Wilford.
Oh.
Yeah.
They, just a theory.
Well, his locker is moved. That's
his,
nice.
His locker couldn't
he
be further away
and was
from
like,
where
hey,
it was.
Whoa. Yeah. You would have to say that it has something to do with chemistry and what they want to do with
based on the way Bill has put guys next to Brady and done different things, yes, I would assume so.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But the people, I didn't really, you know, like I didn't study every spot, but it seems like the people that were with each other
are still with,
so
each,
still
other,
with each other.
Just in different spots?
Mm. It's a little weird, though, because
it's just in a different area of the locker room.
Yeah, because like not all the D linemen are together, not all of the tight ends are together.
So who is now in the D line spot just to the right inside the door?
That would be Edelman, Slater, Hooman.
Maybe they thought the
other
fat
guys like
took up too much room in that doorway. Put some skinny guys there.
Yeah, Chandler Jones and Ninkovich are now where Mankins and. One of the old linemen.
Well, you know
used to
what?
Be in that
you
corner
know what? Be a good
near the scale.
You know what? Be a good exercise. Identify the guys that normally talk on a regular basis and that have big crowds, and see where they are. Mm. And they might have split those guys up a little bit more.
I don't buy it.
I
wasn't in there, but just what they're saying, it doesn't seem to that.
Well,
that's the
Gronk is now where Steven Gostkowski used to be. That end one right near the equipment. Room,
right?
Maybe that's closer.
So that,
to, closer
that could
to Brady
be a reason for
right.
You know,
like
the space
like
of
before he leaves the locker room, Brady can grab him and say, you know.
But I also said to PR today because it occurred to me. I've been meaning to tell them this for a while, but we just haven't had the chance. And we saw it the other night against Philly. Garoppolo, whose locker is kind of tucked in the corner, they brought him out in front of his locker, like not directly in his locker, but he stood out so that people could circle around him. And I was thinking they should do that more often with guys who have a big crowd around their locker so that you don't, A, bother the guy whose locker is to either side of him,
and Matthew Mulligan.
And B, more people can crowd around and get what they need.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they rarely do that.
Those guys, a lot of those guys are the rookies sharing lockers too, and Garoppolo and James White are in the same one next to the specialists.
Oh, that ain't white.
They don't have the metal ones in the middle anymore?
No.
Actually, it is white.
No.
Oh.
Actually, it is. Yeah, they didn't do that last year. They doubled up. Yeah.
My most, not curious, but noteworthy doubling up, Brian Stork and John Jalapio.
Oni Steak.
Florida State. They don't like each other.
Okay.
No, I assume.
Force them to get along.
You know, it was just,
what
you know,
wins, a Gator or a Seminole? I'd take the Gator.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
If neither one is armed,
although
yeah.
If the Seminole's on a hole. Well, no, the Seminole has that spear
the
that's
flaming
on fire.
Spear? Come on.
But if you miss once, I think that you got to hit your first shot with the flaming spear or you're done. Because it gets stuck in the ground, and while you're trying to pull it out, the alligator eats you.
Fred is getting annoyed with the conversation.
No, right. No, he's not. He's actually giving it some
he's
contemplation.
He's pondering it.
I'm just...
10 duck-sized... What was it?
Yeah. Oh. Would you rather have
100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized
duck? Horse-sized duck. Would you rather fight?
I still say the greatest segment in the history of Felger and Mattis.
Now
he has his own show.
Andy and I have gone up and down the roster, and we've talked about the game, but any thoughts about the game since...
I thought it was the best I've ever seen Ryan Mallett play. And for him, not a moment too soon. Because Garoppolo played, I think, even a little bit better than he did the week before in Washington. And Mallett had to step up. Because if he didn't, then there would be, I think, more of a clear separation between the two. I think now it's still as tight maybe as it was the week before.
Yep.
But I don't know if Mallett can keep that up week after week.
Yeah, I agree. I think in one particular play I wrote on the blog, this is the best play I ever saw him do. I think it was the rollout where he threw the touchdown. That was his best play as a Patriot. You know,
I think
so.
You're right.
I thought Mallett played well. I didn't think Garoppolo was as good as he was in Washington, however. I thought he was fine, but I thought statistically he looked better than he actually did. I thought two big completions that he had in particular were not very well thrown. One, I'm not even sure it was intended for the target on the touchdown to Brandon LaFell. I think he was throwing that ball to Maneri underneath, but, you know, I don't know that for sure. It certainly was not a good decision. He was very well covered in the back of the end zone, and the tip created the touchdown. The other one was a ball that he threw to LaFell on the sideline that was in the air for about 4 days. It fluttered. It just took a long time to get there, and it made it a difficult catch for LaFell trying to get his feet on the sideline. But I love the way he moves in the pot. I thought Mallett, you know, in his defense, you know, Garoppolo's the guy who can move. He's the much better athlete. But I thought Mallett really did a good job in the pocket in the second half on Friday night, too. So Eric's right. You get it. He needed to perform well, Mallett. And now all of a sudden you have two guys that maybe you feel a little bit better about. One who's just lacking experience, and now the other one maybe, you know, who was lacking that confidence to do it in a game, maybe he's got a little jump in his step, because you know he had to be down after that Washington game, Mallett. And by the way, with Garoppolo going out and throwing a couple of touchdowns, there was a lot of pressure on Mallett when he went in the game in the second half.
Yeah, there was. My only concern is that, like I said, we've seen Mallett for several years now, and he has moments like that. Maybe not entire, you know, halves of football, but he has moments where you look and you say, "Why, boy, that was a great throw or great decision." And then other, you know, the next play he does something completely, the opposite.
Absolutely.
And I wonder
saw a little bit yesterday in practice.
I wonder if that was just a coincidence that he happened to have his best game at that time, or if he really did step up and if he really has done something. But I mean, we're not really going to get to know that much because there's really going to be two more games that we'll be able to see them do.
Hopefully,
this.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be it.
But I think two games could tell you a lot.
Okay.
You know?
Paul, any thoughts on the flags?
Yeah, I mean, it's the theater of the absurd at this point. I don't know. I know the raw numbers are staggering in terms of the amount of defensive holding and illegal contacts compared to the whole season. Clearly, they're trying to make a point. I'm going to take the referees at their word when they were here to talk to us. John Perry said that he expected X amount during the preseason and would be surprised if that number didn't go down to a much more palatable number. But until I see it, I'm going to be a little concerned about it because it's not a very fun game to watch right now, Fred. I'll tell you that.
No.
So, I'm not as worried. I like the whole hands to the face thing. I wrote that, I think.
Yeah, I don't.
That's the one I think I hate the most.
I know, but I've...
There must have been eight of them in that game the other day.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to call all those during the regular season, but I've complained in the past about they just let these guys put their hand up under the chin and just...
See, that should be called.
But that's a penalty.
But that's not what they're calling.
That's not what they're calling.
They're calling everything
that flips it. You touch the face mask, it's a penalty. That's what they're calling
now.
I have
no problem with your rule.
Your rule is fine.
Unnecessary roughness kind of falls under my old thing. You're cheating. You're gaining leverage by putting a guy in a dangerous
position. If you put your hand underneath a guy's chin and knock his head back, cause his head to go back, that's a penalty, and it's called more often than not.
Yeah, that had
to. You think every time you see a picture in the paper, it didn't elicit a flag.
Yeah.
That's the problem there. I mean,
just
I think,
tax you.
I think that gets called. The stuff that they were calling the other day was basically just flicking the face mask. If you made contact in any way with the face mask, they're calling it.
Yeah, and hopefully they're going a little bit to the extreme and they'll bring it back once the season starts. But I just think there is too much, you know, hands to the face where it counts, that doesn't get called. And it just creates so much of an advantage for a player when you do that.
I also think they need to get rid of stiff arms. It's now the only everybody else's
when
face.
You're running?
Everybody else's face is now protected. You can't touch a quarterback. You can't touch an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, a receiver, a cornerback. The only time you can physically take a blow at somebody in the head is with a stiff arm. Mm. Why is that? So get rid of it. Why? Like, is that not dangerous? So it's dangerous to push an offensive lineman's face back?
I don't think it's dangerous.
I do.
It's too much of an advantage.
Oh, I also think it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
You're snapping the neck back.
It definitely is dangerous.
So I think they need to eliminate, and I don't actually think they need to eliminate the stiff arm. I think they need to eliminate the other pussification touching of the head. But if they're going to do that for everybody, to me, you have to be consistent, and you basically can't touch anybody's face.
But see, to me, like, the hand to the face thing that the linemen do, to me, you can argue that it's not natural, that you shouldn't be aggressive like that. A stiff arm to me is a natural defense mechanism for somebody coming at you to try to tackle you. Your instinct is going to be to try to get away. I mean, maybe not necessarily to the head all the time, but to stick your arm out and do that.
You just can't hit anybody else on the face or the head, so why are they allowed to hit people in the face or the
head? I also don't like the element of all of these penalties, holding, the illegal hands to the face, that they're 5-yard penalties, automatic first down. I was watching two last night, both teams, Cleveland and Washington, 3rd and 18, 3rd and 17. One was an illegal hands to the face by a defensive lineman, first down, and the other was illegal contact on the opposite side of the field, first down.
It should just be 5 yards if they're gonna.
Why can't they just make it a 5-yard penalty?
They want everybody to have first downs and more offensive attempts and completions and numbers and fantasy stats.
Probably true.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Kat's in Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
What's up, girl?
Well, you know, it's like pouring here. That's not great.
They'd kill for that in California.
Yeah, well, that's true. But here, I'm watching water running down the road and rivers. And, yeah, all of a sudden we're having a little flash storm here. But,
oh, sweet. The roof doesn't leak, does it? You finished that part of the house, right?
No, the basement flooded twice.
Oh.
But I fixed that problem. It was a gutter issue. All my water was going to one spot, and it was coming in under one of the doors.
See,
literally around the door casing.
Another lesson learned for you when you're flipping houses.
Yeah, it was not fun. But that's fixed, thank God.
Good.
So I am hoping people pump the brakes a little bit here with Tim's, because I was really liking it. I that first game, I was impressed. I was liking him. And then there was an incomplete pass. He was in the end zone. He had two defenders, one following and one coming across. And he, rather than extending for the ball, he saw that other guy come across, and he almost stopped. He pulled up and kind of covered up and like he was going to get hit, which he didn't. But
is that the first game
you touched? It was in the first game.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Is that, I mean, for a guy who's been with the 49ers and with the Browns and now with us, do we know anything about him from his previous play? Has this been an issue before?
I saw that play and I was...
doesn't like to get hit?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing that you were thinking, but the only thing that I was withholding judgment on was it's hard to judge the angle of the ball in relation to where he was. The ball could have been far enough away from him where... It wasn't even worth jumping
anyway.
For. Yeah. I think it was a lot higher than we thought it was from the angle we saw it on TV.
Okay.
But I don't know reputation for shying away from contact other than he models himself after Randy Moss, and Randy Moss shied away from contact.
Yep. Yeah, well, but he's not Randy Moss.
Well, you know, Fred has him being there. You know, it's too bad he's going to miss the first 4 weeks because, you know, the offense will struggle until he's
back.
Did
you really say that?
No. You said it's too bad he's going to miss the first 4 weeks. You did.
This is what we said. We talked about.
No, we didn't say anything. Don't try to wee it up.
We were talking about all the wide receivers. I said, I like what I've seen on the team. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to play till week five. That's what I said.
I would
bit presumptuous.
Yeah, I
like,
get
well,
okay.
Gonna play
what you
five.
What you said was obviously and not surprisingly different.
Oh,
than
shut
what
up!
Andy said, but I actually think it's fortunately for him.
Yeah,
me too.
And we
spending because otherwise
too,
I don't
right.
think he'd be on the team.
Right, right.
I think the only chance that he has is to serve that suspension and have some roster spots open up in the 4 weeks that he's gone.
Fred made it sound like, you know, if Gronk gets hurt in week four, it'll be fine because the offense will get Tim's in week
that's
five.
That's exactly
yeah,
what
see,
I
was pretty. I was pretty confident that's not what you said, Fred.
Tim's is his suspension for NFL-level nutrition? Is that
yes.
Right?
Yes.
No, Adderall. Yeah. Adderall. Oh, no, no, no. He's really taking Adderall.
Yes,
he's taken
Kat,
it since he was nine.
Yes, Kat, but Andy talked to Brian Timms, so he
he's
believes
very
him.
Nice. He's very nice boy.
Nice. Okay.
Adderall and Ritalin since he was nine, and he just didn't go through the proper channels. It's all fine now.
Well, that'll make you peppy, that's for sure. So what's the deal? I'm, you know, of course, again, receivers that can't play right now. I'm really interested in Gallen because, as we all know, I hate Amendola. He is my least favorite Patriot.
Wow.
And I'm looking for someone to replace him. And Gallen, I've seen some of his Michigan tape, look pretty good. So what's his deal? I know he's non-football, right, or something like
well,
that?
Well, he's active
he
now.
Just active
yeah.
now.
He was PUP,
he's
but now
okay,
he's
good.
He returned some punts yesterday. He was getting some action out there. He's in pads, and I think it's too little too late. I think it would be miraculous
you're gonna
for
make it.
No, I
what
just
about
think
practice squad.
Maybe practice
that's possible.
Squad, but especially we should mention the reportedly going to add two spots to the practice squad. It's going to go up to 10 for this year essentially. Mm-hmm. And I just to me he replicates too many guys on the roster and has missed the entirety
of
camp.
Yeah.
I mean that's just too little, too late.
Okay.
But I think he'll be around. I think he'll be around one fashion or another.
He could be. He was very productive
I
at Michigan.
So.
I actually don't think he's as physically talented or I don't think he has the skills like a Finch that I can see as the quickness and the playmaking. To me, he's not as quick or fast as you would think a guy of that size and that production would be.
He's got good hands, though.
He does have good hands. He caught a lot of passes. But, yeah. You know, guys that aren't that quick and aren't that fast who have good hands end up, you know, I don't know. Washing
that's
cars,
true,
Paul
but
says.
Then again, I Sonny's. Have a low opinion of Amendola. That
yeah, that's almost abnormal. That how much you hate him, Kat. I like that. I like that
I
kind
never,
of hatred.
Yeah, I never. I didn't like him when he was with the Rams. I didn't like him when people were talking about let's get Amendola, and I don't like him now.
Now, so, is it performance related, or does he have like an air? Do you not like his comportment, as Paul Perillo would say?
I started liking him before I knew anything about, or I started disliking him before I knew anything about his comportment. It
okay.
was the fact that he's always hurt. I just, you know, I don't know. I never thought people always, oh, well, he's got good hands. I never thought his hands were as good. I never thought he was this fast. I didn't like his size. I didn't, yeah, he just had the least yards. So, okay, I ran a fantasy badness league 1 year. Where instead of getting good stats, that's how you got points, you got bad stats for points, like drops, yards after catch. The lower your yards after catch were, the better the person was.
Wow.
Badness. It was all about badness.
You ran a league, an entire league like this?
It was a bizarro fantasy league.
So
yeah.
Eli Manning is the best quarterback because he throws 20 interceptions.
Yeah.
That's phenomenally interesting.
It was a great and
so you have to pick
missed.
Guys that are out there a lot.
Right,
but
they have to be terrible but
right.
have to play a lot because
right.
if they stop playing, you lose.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So Danny
awesome.
Amendola was the number one point scorer in that league.
That's great.
It must have been the year he averaged 8.5 a catch.
And people thought I was crazy because I drafted him with the second overall pick. Boy, did he can't.
This is unbelievable. The the level of hatred is unbelievable.
I just can't believe that there's actually people who are in a league of bad players.
I'm actually intrigued by it. I think it's really
cool. How many people
cool.
were in this league, Kat?
I think it was either a 10 or a 12. I can't remember. This was a few years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask the FF Champs guys at 4 o'clock if they know of these leagues.
That's awesome. Yeah. Did you make it up or did you hear of it? Or
no, I made it up.
You made it up.
My husband and his friends
got a little geek
when they were in college, and then I was like, we got to do another badness league. We got to do it.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I love it. All right, Kat, thanks for the call.
She drafted him number 2 overall in a badness league, and Belichick gave him $30 million. that's just tremendous.
Let's go to Belarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Belarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Polo.
I downloaded the Patriots app on the phone. It's pretty good. However, there's one problem. Whenever there's a live match going on and Fred's doing his live blog, instead of all the comments coming, all the recent comments being displayed on top, it's being displayed on bottom. So I have to scroll down to read it. So that's a problem you should fix.
Okay. That makes sense. We'll look into that.
That seems like an easy fix, right?
I don't know.
We don't have the functionality for that.
So the comments, you want the comments on the top.
Yeah, the recent ones.
The new ones.
Top.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, that definitely, I'm sure that could be fixed.
It's just you sort them inverse of the way they're being sorted now.
Yep. All right.
Also, I watched the 49ers versus Broncos preseason, and I noticed a couple of things. First of all, I saw, like, Brandon Lloyd just run past the lead, and he couldn't do anything. And the only reason it wasn't a touchdown is because Kaepernick can't throw. And also, this team has only scored like 3 points in both preseason games combined, the 49ers.
The 49ers are having a little bit of trouble.
And their quarterbacks have been putrid, correct?
That's one of those things I was thinking, that if Ryan Mallett plays really well in the next two preseasons, is there still a trade market for
him? No.
It's too late, Belarco, because now he has to learn a new system, and
he'll be a free agent.
Yeah.
We'll say everything like this.
It's forget about Ryan Mallett being traded.
He could be cut.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Belarco.
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised, but not stunned.
It's 1:16. We've been going at it since noon. We'll keep going at it till 2, but we're gonna take a break right now. When we come back, more of your calls and emails.
Dead air. Nothing's on.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you
hungry? Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernrepper, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Ben, are you hung?
So flustered. Right. You were so flustered there.
Well, he got a kid in the room, and you're making...
You know, asked him if he was hung.
Yeah, okay.
You should be uncomfortable.
It's like the other day where you accused Paul of using the C word.
Yeah, well, he did.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
Right. I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
He took country.
He took country off.
And dropped the re.
Concept is actually what I was
or
saying.
Concept.
Yeah. It's not.
It sound like it. It did. Even Eric, and he's not, he's Mr. Prim, Proper, and Pompous. And he thought you said it.
Raphael.
So that makes it so.
Raphael
he doesn't even know what it is.
Is policing the internet in sports talk radio shows and reports that Zolak just stole Andy's boobies joke live on air and did not even give credit to Andy.
It's typical. It's kind of
unicorns, show ponies.
That's not right.
No one should. No,
he didn't steal
no one
that.
Steals
yeah,
that act.
No, that's so bad. No one will.
Brady's back.
That's my.
Where'd he go? So, strippers reporting that ESPN the magazine has the Patriots going 12-4.
It's an just improvement, like over, it's an improvement over the 9-7 from last year.
Now, is this ESPN or is this Pro Football Focus? Didn't they do it?
I assume it's the wheel of
and they did it,
Pro
right?
Football Focus, I think, does this. Yeah. It's all analytical.
So Brady stinks and is falling down, but they think the Patriots will be three games better this year. That makes sense.
Right.
Sam. You heard me, Sam.
Keith in Florida, glad to hear that Andy is on board for Edelman. Talk about two giant heads of one mind. I could not agree with him anymore. I really think he's poised for a breakout. I think he means more. Superstar year. The last year was a perfect setup for it. He's my next jersey purchase. As for Ridley, I cringe when I saw him lose the ball and feel he's got to be circling the drain. It's a shame when that much positive is negated by so little negative, but it is what it is. The guy has to keep a hold of the ball. Oh, and Garoppolo looks like a stud. Can't wait to see more of him. I can. Hope all is well up there. Hot as hell down here. Hot but not stinky yet.
Oh, it stinks.
Fred, wow.
The only place in Florida that doesn't stink is Disney. They must do something. Deodorize it.
We went over Brian Morey's chart with the running back fumbles.
Matt Chatham called in.
Did he really?
No.
That would have been great. I would like to have seen his response to, you know, finding out that his information was diametrically opposite of what it actually was.
It's never fazed him in the past.
Sam in Petaluma. Anything stand out about Jonas Gray? I thought he looked good at late in the Eagles game. Any chance he takes Bolden's spot? Looked okay.
He looked okay. I've been underwhelmed by him most of the summer.
Speaking of
by who?
Looks, Jonas Gray.
Speaking of looks, Andy, your boy Kenoris Davis is ridiculous.
Oh, I know.
He walked in the locker room today. He is just unbelievably yoked.
Tight skin?
Oh, yeah. Now, he's the tightest skinned athlete I've ever seen.
He is. It's impressive.
He is absolutely
enormous. He was a tough
enormous.
Cut on my last roster projection.
Yeah, I know.
And
I must have heard.
He's short, which makes it even more, like, he looks even more compact.
Yeah. He is just a muscle hamster, like the other guy.
Yeah.
Who was the guy the Patriots used to have that was almost like a bodybuilder, linebacker, didn't play much?
Oh, the guy from Carolina? The model?
Oh, Dante Wesley?
No. It was back in...
he was a DB, wasn't he?
Monte Brown?
Monte Brown.
I liked him.
Monte Brown. Do you remember Monte Brown? Oh, you would have loved Monte Brown.
I like
Brown.
Vincent Brown and Monte, yeah.
Vincent Brown was legit.
I don't even remember that name. How long was he around?
Vincent Brown?
No, Monte Brown.
Monte Brown
just like
followed.
One year.
This just spun off the wheel.
Monte Brown followed Vincent Brown.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was another big guy. Also, Sean says he's going fly fishing in Idaho on Thursday. Hopefully I can hook a nice brook or brown. South or north Idaho is my question.
What's it matter?
That's different areas.
Is it significantly different?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole...
You fish it different?
Environment and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Different flies?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Oh, so what's
But it just looks different.
Which one's more beautiful or nicer or scenic?
They're both really nice.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're both really nice.
He's so freaking annoying sometimes. He turns into Bill Belichick. I don't really understand the question.
I don't really rank him.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dwight's in New York. Hey, Dwight.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you, Dwight?
I'm well, thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Do they call you Dewey?
Dewey, yeah. Actually, Dewey Evans was somebody I was named after in college.
Really?
Back in the day. Boyd Evans, you guys remember him?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes.
So they didn't give you a name until college?
Yeah, true.
Maybe to be named later.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a counterpoint on Amendola. Last night I was just watching the Pats and the Colts playoff game and last year. And in the middle of fourth quarter, the Colts were starting to come back. And it was like third and long. And Amendola just pulled out a clutch pass, it really, I think it changed the game and changed the course. So having good hands late in the fourth quarter, I think is a good reason to keep him. I mean, I think that if he goes down with injury this year, I think it could be a problem. But I just wanted to put a plug in for him.
Yeah, he has good hands. Now, he's not as bad as Cat makes him out to be.
Yeah, now Cat clearly has sort of an unhealthy hatred for him, which I can appreciate because I have unhealthy hatred for a lot of people.
She ran the league, so it also may have been weighted in a scoring system that made Danny Amendola successful in that league. But we've all talked about he had a really good camp last year. He's had a really good camp this year.
Yep.
He had a tremendous performance on opening day, gutty performance.
Yep.
And then played out as kind of he does every year. But I think that's what's reserving people saying,
I'm not fooling
once, shame on fooling five times in a row, shame on stupidity.
There definitely hasn't been as much buzz about him this camp Whereas I don't think there's been any difference between how he played this camp and last camp. I think he's been good, and he was good in both camps.
I agree. I think part of that is because Edelman has had such a great camp.
Yeah. Well, that is the one. Edelman has been really good.
Yeah, I mean, Edelman's fine, but I think that people, like Andy said, I think are a little bit reluctant to sort of jump on the Amendola bandwagon. Wait, he looks good. He looks
as they should be.
You know, and I agree because I don't really put a lot of stock in, you know, guys catching a lot of passes in practice. That's generally what happens in practice. Now,
what about guys who don't catch a lot of passes?
Well, that's
they don't
a problem.
Practice much.
Then you end up getting cut, like my boy Boyce. I think is on the way to getting cut because he hasn't caught a lot.
So
of passes
So you don't
in
like
practice.
Boyce anymore?
I still like Boyce, but I don't think Boyce is going to be on the Patriots.
He doesn't have faith in Boyce.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that clip from Sandusky. Am I sexually attracted to young boys?
Oh, God.
Remember when he has to like repeat
it really,
the question?
It's amazing. Like it.
Yeah, he had to process the question.
He pulled a Glenn Ordway.
That was horrible.
Let me think for a minute. What's the proper answer here?
Mike writes in, I wanted to say that I really enjoyed watching the game on NFL Network on Friday and seeing Andy and Paul on the big screen. After watching some of the other preseason games, I really think the way you guys are approaching the telecast is much more entertaining than most.
Woo!
I do think allowing Andy and Paul more airtime would only increase the entertainment value. Now that the ball washing is over, let's play a few games.
Can you set just read those first couple lines over again? We have an important guest who just walked into the office. The executive producer of Kraft Sports Productions needs to hear that fan mail.
Yeah, Matt, we have a caller who says, emailer who says that he really loves Andy and Paul. After watching some of the other preseason games, he thinks that the way we're approaching the telecast is much more entertaining, and he wants to see more Andy and Paul because that would increase the entertainment.
That was from Al Perillo.
As from
Mike Perillo and hot.
Less Chatham, more Hart.
He also says, first game, besides the big three, Brady, Gronk, or Revis, who are the next three guys in the team that would be toughest to lose for an extended period of time?
Brady, Gronk, Revis.
I'd say Edelman.
Edelman.
Mayo, because they all just suck their thumb when he's not out there and just lose their wits.
I'd say Edelman, definitely. Mayo, you said?
Yeah, because they all tell me that they can't, you know, life falls apart when they're out there. McCourty.
Maybe because they don't have anybody else back there. That's not a
bad one. They don't use safeties anymore. They just use inside coverage people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Me like, I think there's a bunch of interchangeable parts beyond those three.
Does it make,
does it make me an old
curmudgeon? Yes.
They're all a bunch of jags.
As usual, you could take it that way, or you could take it as that I think that they have a reasonable amount of depth beyond those guys. I don't think that the world would end if Mayo got hurt,
much like it didn't
last year. And I don't think the world would end if McCourty got hurt. I think that doesn't mean that I think that those guys stink.
The world's not going to end unless Brady gets hurt.
Well, that's
then it's only one.
But that's what I'm saying. Beyond those three guys, I don't think it would be. I don't think you're so.
Okay, so change it to your championship hopes take a death blow.
Like if Edelman got hurt, I don't really think that that would be the end of the world. Well, now, obviously, it's not good if he gets hurt, but I mean, as long as you get Gronk, I think you're all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Second,
does that make it that I think that they're not that good?
See, I think if you lose any of the three that he mentioned,
I think
your
those
championship
three are
hopes go down the crapper.
I think
your
those
season
three are
doesn't. You can lose Revis, and you're still going to win.
You're
12
gonna go
games.
You're going to go 12-4, but
if you lose
you're
Brady,
not gonna,
you're not going to probably
win. You're probably not
games.
Going 12-4 if you lose
but
Brady.
But I think if you lose others, you could look back on it and say,
that's
why they lost.
That's the way
the
I look at it.
The defensive front couldn't tackle. Marshawn Lynch ran right through him like a knife through cold butter, a hot knife, too. And you look back later and say, like you said, weren't you really pissed last week at the tackling that they
I
sucked?
Was.
You might see a Super Bowl and say, if Mayo were out there, they would not have run like that on this defense. It's all because Mayo wasn't out there. Now, it would be hindsight.
Right.
I agree with Paul. You're
I
not going
to
say it's
like
over. Wave the white
thing.
Flag. Mayo's gone. Okay, we wave the white flag. No. I think the only one that you do that is Brady. The only one close to that is Gronk. I'm not even putting Revis in that category. We've been without a good corner for
long
enough.
We've won 12 games without a defense for a long time. So I'm pretty sure they could win 12 games without Revis.
Second game, pick one to keep out of each of these groupings. Contract is not an issue. The first grouping, Wendell, Connolly, and Stork. Pick one to keep.
Conley.
I say Conley.
Conley.
Position flexibility, veteran experience, and he's healthy.
Butler, Ryan, or Arrington?
Butler, Ryan, Arrington.
Arrington.
Ryan.
Butler. Bolden, Finch, or Gray?
Bolden, Finch.
Finch or Gray? Oh yeah, I would go. I would go Finch.
Smith, Buchanan, or Moore?
Moore, and only because I just haven't seen enough yet. The other two, Smith, I think, is done.
Who is Smith?
Will.
Oh, okay. Smith? I couldn't, literally couldn't so think of who
it
was.
It shows you he's not going to pick Smith.
Smith, Buchanan, Moore.
I think Buchanan sort of is what he is. He's okay. I don't really see much flash there. I don't know what Moore is. Maybe he can flash when he gets a little.
I would probably take Moore because it's what I do. I also took the other guy. Who was the Moore before Moore?
The guy with the red sleeves. Vincent Red, maybe? One of those guys?
Oh, well, yes, him. But who was the more recent one from, like, Alabama State or something, or Arkansas State?
Oh, Markell Carter.
See, I always fall for those guys, so I'm just going to be consistent
that's
and go
That's typical
more.
Paul right there. I go 5 years earlier than the guy you're talking about.
I did like Vince Red. Okay, Paul, apparently we need to fill because Fred's not ready to read it.
I thought there was going to be more of those.
I thought so, too.
Okay.
Just says okay.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jamie's in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up, girl?
What do you got?
Come on, big head. Why you gotta be like that, man?
I don't know. I think I had a stroke at a young age.
You're feeling a little sassy, huh?
You know, I get in those moods every once in a while. People tell me I got to bring more energy. People on TV don't think I bring enough energy.
They say that to you again this week?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, by they, I also mean that, Matt Smith, executive producer.
Well, he's the boss.
Yeah, I mean, when you guys are on TV, you've got to like be like normal people. I mean,
that's how I look at it.
Understand. Yeah.
Professionalism.
Yeah, you guys,
I don't want to be Warren Sapp. I don't want to be like this clown that no one knows what he's saying.
Yeah, we can't do what we do on
Plus,
the radio
I'm not a Hall of Famer
TV.
With a Super Bowl ring, so I can't really pull it off.
And can't just have your eyes go really wide and then smile?
Right.
Yeah, They need to like expand your box a little bit, pardon the pun there. Like, because when you feature,
I wouldn't use that line on your wife.
You're like down in the corner, and
I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple playing. More Perillo and Hart. He gets mad if I say Hart.
Yeah, no, you guys are good. It was a good outing. Did Kelly and Jamie Collins have any reps for pregame too? Because I didn't seem to notice them. I don't know if. I was away from the TV, but did they look?
Yeah, they were out there for the two series.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I didn't really see
much. I think
much.
The defense as a whole looked really good.
The defense didn't get to play a lot.
Right. Yeah. They had the first play turnover with Hightower and Paul's boy.
Yep. And then they got a first down, and then they had a sack on third down the second set. So they only played like maybe 8 snaps.
For Kelly, he's now played 2 weeks, unlike most of those guys. He had the little cameo in the first week in Washington. And, I know a lot of people wanted to sort of run him out of town to start the year. Oh,
Kelly?
Shaved his contract.
Oh, that was the big Mike Reese one. Mike Reese did not have him on his roster projection for a while because he thought he was a candidate for a veteran cut.
I think he's a mainstay guy on the front.
You think he's going to be a rotational guy, or you think he's going to be like 2-3 down guy?
I think ideally he'd be a rotational guy, but I don't know that you're going to have the ideal.
Yeah, but I also think that the other team's going to determine a lot of that. You know?
No, I know, but he's a guy that can play tackle or end. He's your left defensive end in the 3-4. He's been a tackle inside. But if I can involve Easley, Chris Jones, whatever the other machinations are, then I'd be doing it. He's an older guy that I'd like to kind of monitor. I don't want him out. I don't want the Roman Pfeiffer. He's going to have a role, and the role is 100% of the snaps.
And I can't determine. Are they primarily going to be a 4-3 this year, or it seems like they're kind of back and forth? Are they? Have they established a pattern yet?
For the last 2 weeks they've been 3-4. There's been a pattern since pre-Washington. They've been a 3-4 team. Whether that we're now in the point where they can do whatever they want and no one can report on it because we're not out there other than the 20 minutes. Who knows what happens between now and Miami? Because you think about it, we think they've been 3-4 for a long time now, like 2-plus weeks. They have more than that between now and September 7th. They could go all 4-3 from now on, and we wouldn't be any the wiser.
Right.
Yeah. All right, and lastly, I'm going to give Paulie a hard time.
Yes.
Hey, just for the karmic record, can you call James Devlin the nice little player, please?
Oh, no. No. He's huge.
Not literally. We know he's not little.
Wait, you think James Devlin's better than Wes Welker?
He's huge. He's huge.
Hey, I believe in the post game, Paul went as far as calling him a nice player.
And if we could just call him a nice little player, hey, you know, we can get
yeah,
him.
Yeah, different.
Devlin has to do more.
I understand.
Paul will not like him.
I understand what your point is. And yes,
the more he does,
Jamie,
at least Paul will like him.
Well, poor Jamie.
Paul
He just stepped all over Jamie. That was a nice job by you.
I didn't do that.
He was trying
to finish his call, and you were talking.
I didn't cut him off.
You were just like,
don't call me Mr. Interruption.
He hung up on his own.
Captain Interruptus.
Yeah. I think the more that James Devlin does, the least.
Yeah, you don't really understand the whole concept of that team thing.
It's when fans start to like him that you hate him.
It's not like. It's when he's given credit for, like, winning Super Bowls. That's when I'll turn on James Devlin.
Well, Welker never got credit for winning Super Bowls.
No, now I'll tell you who that is now is Edelman, who evidently has morphed into an indispensable player.
So now fans really like him.
Exactly. It's not fans liking him. You can like whoever you want. It's you giving him credit for things that he's not responsible for.
We're giving him credit for looking good in camp.
Okay, that's all you're giving him credit for?
Well, I don't know. He hasn't done anything else.
Bursting into a superstar, I think, was an email from earlier in the show.
I love dicks as well.
Why is it anger?
I don't know.
When I don't agree with you. Why? I don't understand why
that. Stop, because Fred's going to have a heart attack.
I don't understand why that translates to anger. We can all sit here and just say the same things, all four of us, every show.
No, we don't. It's perfect.
No, but we can if you want to. But every time I disagree with somebody,
don't ever change, Paul. Don't ever change.
It's not anger. It's just an opinion.
I don't think you're
right. Doesn't mean it's right. It's just an opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know why that, like, makes you laugh so much.
Fred's wiping the tears away.
I just think it's funny because you're nothing if not consistent.
And the fans are nothing if not consistent.
Right. Well,
they overrate the players that they take a shine
to.
They
get excited about guys that do well, you know?
That's it.
You can't blame them.
I mean, I suppose this is probably not the forum to get into why
if you were a fan, so
excited about
if you're a Patriots fan and you've been reading all the posts that we've been making on Patriots.com about how good Edelman looks, and I think you'd get excited. You can't blame them.
You think he's a superstar?
We're the ones giving them the information.
Do you think he's a superstar?
What do you mean super? He's not Calvin Johnson.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what we're painting him out to be. Not by we, I don't mean us, I mean the emailers.
But on this team, he could be one of the most valuable offensive contributors.
Sure. I mean, I think that tells you a little bit about the offensive contributors you have.
Wow. Okay.
Because beyond Gronk, I don't think there's really anybody that's any better.
Wow. Well, no one's better than Gronk, obviously. No,
that's what I'm saying. Beyond that, I think that says more about what you have than the player.
But this team only has two superstars right now.
Right, Brady and Gronk.
Right, and you may have a third. Revis is a Hall of Fame talent, but I'm not sure he's a superstar.
I think, well, yeah, I put him in the category.
It feels like people are doubting him. I think people,
really?
Yeah. Nationally, I think people aren't sold.
I think just
that
the opposite. I've read more things that he is the quintessential free agent pickup in the history of football over the last 3 months.
I've read national stuff. People that think he's no longer among the elite corners.
Can you forward those to me? Because those are the kinds of things
that I
need. No, I'm not doubting
you. Need those?
I, those are the kinds of things that I need.
Why does he keep files on this?
I like, you know, my little media checkbook. I like to have guys be accountable. I haven't seen that at all.
I have.
And I would like to see that because I'd like to see some balance to it, you know. That's all. I'd be curious to see who says that.
I don't know. There are some people. Strippers find some.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
He's not that good?
Hey. No. Not that he's not that good.
Luck and Fora was just falling all over himself in Richmond. Remember?
Yeah.
You read that stuff?
Everybody thinks he's good. It's whether
he's still great.
Is he still one of a top three corners in the league or whatever?
Yeah, I haven't read anybody. I've been curious. I'm being dead serious. I think you think I'm coming back at you.
I don't know
like
what you're doing.
Like saying it's a scarecrow
I'm just
thing?
Trying not to get yelled at.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't get engaged in these I'm better than you arguments that Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson are having.
No, but I think some people think he's now getting by on the name Darrell Revis.
And I'd be curious to see who some of those people are.
And then I'm going to be curious
to see what it plays out as. And like Peter King was all over everybody for suggesting that he wasn't that good last year and that he's going to be so much better even this year.
Revis pretty much admitted he wasn't that good last year.
You know, but he was, you know, I've seen nothing but just absolute adoration for the guy. And based on what I've seen, it's deserved. Because I think he's been great in camp.
When
he decides to play the play through.
Three quarter speed.
Alex, what do you got?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
What's up, girl?
Hey, what's up? So I was really happy about the second game. I didn't get to comment for the post game because I was at a concert, but I watched the game after on my own personal time, so I could give my own personal commentary. But I think that you talked about it before on the Patriots Football Weekly about the players that we have in our team as opposed to the players in the league. Is Edelman one of the best receivers in the league? No, but if we don't have Edelman, who the hell else is going to catch the ball?
Right.
Because I don't think Amendola is going to catch the ball. I think he's going to suck.
Oh. Women are very down on Danny Amendola.
Kat and Alex, not Amendola fans.
No, I don't see production. Without production, I'm sorry, you're dead to me.
Wow. Okay. All right.
But
is in regard to the running backs. I liked what I saw, and I know that they're still trying to find the right mix with the running backs, but I like what they saw when they were rotating out running backs through the game, and I'm wondering if maybe that's the key to getting through this last year with Ridley, is not having one guy who gets the predominant carries, about having just like go with the hot hand almost and just kind of rotate through running backs and get what you get out of the ones, you know, take the ones who have the skills, you know, understand their skills and just rotate them through. And that's how we get through this year, because obviously I don't think we can count on Ridley. I just don't think.
Well, that is what I think they'll do.
Right.
I think that's what they did last year.
But you have to have a couple guys that can do it.
Right.
And if you're rotating in bad, then you might be tempted to just go with the one guy you have.
You know, last year they were able to fall back on Blunt when Ridley wasn't doing it, and obviously he played well. I'm not sure they have a guy that I feel really comfortable saying, even for a game or two, you're going to be the lead guy today. You're going to get 20 carries today. I don't know if I want Vereen or White doing that.
I really believe Belichick would like 800, 700, 600, or 800, 600, yep. 400, whatever. But does he have that?
But Alex, I think you're even talking like not even game by game, but play, but series by series rotating.
Right.
Series
by series.
Yeah. I think you'll see some of that.
And some of that is going to play in with the rest of the offense is unsettled. There's no lock that their top three receivers are going to be their top three receivers all year long, or that Gronk will be out there. And so this is your, you know, base offense. I'm not sure they're going to have an obvious base offense all year long.
Right.
No, because I think that that's how we've done it. We've done it because we don't really necessarily go out and spend the big money. I mean, that's the one frustration a lot of fans have. It's like, go out there and spend the big money, but that's not what we do. That's not the Patriot way. The Patriot way is we get the best that we can get, and we make, you know, the best out of, you know, lemonade out of lemons, I mean, basically. But I think that the key is the way that we rotate. We go, you know, we go with the hot hand. We get the guys, like, you're not going to be the best. You're not going to be the number one guy. But if we keep rotating, we find the right mix of rotating. I mean, we keep winning the division, so we must be doing something right.
Yep. Or the other three teams are doing something really wrong.
See, I was thinking it, but I didn't say it.
Well, you know, but they're all
terrible.
They're all very quietly getting better, and eventually we're all going to be on an even level, and then we're going to have to change the way that we look at things.
Alex, you know that's never going to happen.
Actually will.
You don't have
when Brady and Belichick leave, all four teams will bleeping suck, as Charles Barkley says.
No, I mean, I always think that we'll dominate, but they do. They get all the other teams in the division get a little tiny bit better every year.
Except for the Jets.
Except for the Bills. The Bills haven't been in the playoffs since 99.
I don't think the Bills will be able to fix themselves. But I think, like, you know, the Dolphins are getting a little bit better. The Jets get a little bit better. I'm not talking like giant leaps, but they get a little bit better every year. And, it makes the league more competitive. I mean, it's like you may, like, drop one bead of sweat. Like, oh, my God, are we going to win the division? One bead. You know, like, they just kind of keep us on our toes, and they keep us. But eventually, I think we're going to have to, down the line, you know, maybe when Brady retires, but we're going to have to rethink the way that we do things, because it's not going to work after a while. We're going to go back to, you know, the way that we were in the 80s when we weren't quite so wonderful.
All right, Alex. Well, it's time to get back to work. I think I hear your boss coming. So. Okay.
Thanks, right. Alex.
Alex, you can always tell people when they're calling from work.
The hushed tones.
Right.
I thought that was just her sultry voice.
But no. Hey, good call.
Plus, she's apparently older than I think
she is. I'm surprised she's not a post-game caller. She was a good caller.
She is a post-game caller.
That's where she came from. She started in the post-game and then bridged over into the daytime.
So just to recap the last 15 seconds, Fred agrees that the post-game callers are better.
I was being sarcastic. Pete in Ottawa, first off, thank you for an awesome podcast. I'm not sure if you all realize how important your show is to Patriots fans around the world. Humor and knowledge you all bring makes the podcast a must listen, and here is my question.
We all know how important it is, just no one else does.
I heard that the Redskins receivers are all performing really well, which means that they might have to actually cut veteran receiver Santana Moss. Do you think he would be a good option to fit for the Patriots if he becomes available.
Paul, you like him?
I think he was a good player, but no, I don't think he's. I think he's more of what they have. I mean, I think he's more talented, perhaps. I don't know what he has left if he still has that kind of speed, but I think they need an outside guy, a guy who can threaten on the outside, and I'm not sure Moss can do that anymore. I will say that the skill position guys that the Redskins had, the running backs and the wide receivers, I would look at one of those running backs. I think one of those running backs could get cut. And I was impressed with the way they ran during the week in Richmond and in the game. They had Alfred Morris obviously not going anywhere.
Helu.
But, yeah, Roy Helu was more of the third down back. They had Silas Red.
Yep.
They had Seastrunk.
I like Seastrunk.
I like Seastrunk.
Could be because he kind of looks like the guy I like, kind of big.
Now, he's a rookie, so I would imagine they'll find a way to hold on to him in some capacity. But they had some depth at running back, and I think Andy and I have been talking about this Labor Day weekend, Freddie. They're going to add a running back. The Patriots are going to find a running back that gets cut.
Andy believes the same thing.
And yeah. and they're going to add a running back.
Keith, defending himself about Edelman, says, I meant superstar on the team, not league-wide.
But you can't be a superstar on the team either when league superstars are on your team. I'm with you. I said I think he's going to have a better year. I think he's going to make more plays down the field. But he's not a superstar, and he never will be.
Keith in Tampa, I heard you guys saying at wide receiver it's Edelman and Amendola at 1 and 2, but the preseason game had Edelman and Tompkins starting, and the third receiver seemed to be LaFell, with Amendola only on the field in 4 wide sets. Do you guys think that Amendola is actually the fourth receiver, or were they just running specific packages?
I do not believe. I mean, it's been Amendola, Edelman, and somebody else since forever.
Yeah, I don't know what the first play is going to be from game to game, but what we've seen this training camp is generally Amendola and Edelman are out there together, and then the other guys are added in. Now, Tompkins and LaFell have sort of alternated being that quote-unquote first outside guy, but I agree with Andy. I don't see any way that Edelman and Amendola aren't involved in most of their sets.
James in the Cube writes in, the one fumble I don't blame Ridley for was the 2012 AFC Championship game against the Ravens, where he took a huge blow to the head, got knocked out, and subsequently fumbled the ball. We learned later that he suffered a concussion. Shouldn't there be a rule that if there is an illegal blow to the head before a fumble, then the fumble is invalid? Of course, you're going to fumble if you're unconscious. It would be consistent with INTs as well, that if there's a PI or something before the INT, it doesn't count. Why not something similar with fumbles?
Wait, was there a penalty called on that play?
No.
No, that's the problem.
If there was, didn't he lower his head?
I don't think there should have been a penalty called.
No, but if there was a penalty, it would
negate. Then it would have wiped it out.
The Patriots would accept it, and it would wipe out the fumble.
Didn't he lower his head, too?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, it was a football play. I'm sorry.
Right. And
again,
the other part of that, you can't go by if the result of the play, if the guy was concussed, wouldn't, I mean, every guy that fumbles would, you know.
Name the months. You get up, January, December.
You stagger to the sidelines and sit out for a series, and, you know, you get to maintain possession. That's
what
a dangerous
was the exact
game.
Play last year that Belichick gave him the pass on the little the reception, and then he got blowed up by somebody and on the sideline, Belichick's sideline?
Pittsburgh?
Palomalu.
Right.
Him up.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. Right. He had a big hit on Ridley.
Yeah. Yep. Remember, and he gave him basically said it was a great defensive play, not much you turn up, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
I mean, there are times that, fumbles are going to happen from time to time. The problem with Ridley is that they happen too frequently, and some of them aren't necessarily those ones that you're talking about, right? I mean, like, the other night, you know, and Ridley talked about this yesterday, the guy ripped the ball out of his hand. You know, he was going down, and he had the ball tucked, and the guy stripped him. You can't just get stripped like that. I mean, if a guy gets a helmet, bang, right on the football, it's not ideal. But sometimes you can understand it.
Yeah.
You know, certainly the one the emailer brings up, I absolutely give him a pass for that one when Bernard Pollard knocked him out against Baltimore. I mean, he was going down. He was not anywhere near aware of what he was doing at that point.
He
was out. He was out on his feet, and the ball came out. Unfortunate plays. I don't think that you can. The one against Buffalo last year, remember he fell down? Remember when he got the handoff and he slipped in the backfield and he lost it all on his own?
Yeah, I was
that
giving him credit. I thought he tore his ACL or something.
That
maybe.
Can't happen. You know, the one, even though Philadelphia, that probably would have been overturned in the regular season. You can't lose possession of the ball on plays like that.
How many players do you think don't do what they ask them to do? Jonas Gray is a hardworking kid. He's done everything they've asked him to do. How many players do you think actually don't do what they ask him to do?
Bethel Johnson. The more they told him what to do, the more he didn't want to do it.
Right.
That was his quote, right?
That's what he said.
I think that's few and far between.
And he was out of the league.
I think most of the 90 guys, if Bill Belichick tells them to do something, they do.
Especially guys of that ilk, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Randy Moss might not, because, you know, F you, I'm Randy Moss.
Right.
But, like, the Jonas Gray types, you're not here if you don't do what they ask him to do.
Trey's in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Trey B.
Hey, what's up, guy?
How you doing?
Man, I set my clock, man, but I didn't hear it. How's it going?
Guess what? It's a podcast. You can go back and listen
later.
You
know it's like 2 in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, he works overnight. Get off his back.
All right.
Yeah, come on. Anyway, it's 2 in the afternoon, Darren. It's almost 1 here. But, hey, I wanted to shed some light on this fumbling issue, man. And, you know, I want to make a comparison with Ridley and Peterson. Ridley and Peterson just about fumbles the ball at the same amount, you know.
Correct.
Pretty much at the same amount. But you playing in Minnesota, you're pretty much the franchise. You're not going to get yanked. So, and I feel that if Adrian Peterson had a start of his career in New England, I don't think he... There's a strong chance that he would be, you know, the Adrian Peterson that we see.
But the big difference there, Trey, is the big playability from Peterson mixed in with those 60 carries.
And by the way, Adrian Peterson got yanked in Minnesota on more than one occasion, including in the NFC Championship game against New Orleans when he fumbled twice.
Yeah, but he gave it up, 4 or 5 times in that game, right?
Twice.
He fumbled 4 or 5 times. But see, if you... The thing is, he's not missing 2-3 games due to, you know, fumbling. So, you know, he knows that he's not going to get deactivated. And he knows that, you know, he's going to always, you know, have a chance.
Right. He'll be off the bench himself a lot.
He also knows, he also knows every carry he's going to have 9 guys in the box, and he's the team. He's the offense. Everybody is trying to stop him. If you yank him from the game, the defense just won. Because you don't have a quarterback, you don't have an offense, you don't have a team.
Yeah, theoretically, Ridley should never fumble because he never gets that kind of attention that Adrian Peterson gets.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, like I said, man, a lot of the fumbles though are inexcusable, and you guys are right. But I mean, you know, he's playing on eggshells, man. He's playing and walking on eggshells, and
he should be.
Yep. He's also on borrowed time. Yeah.
Right.
His career is kind of hanging in the balance right now.
He'll get another shot.
He's entering his free agent year, and he needs to stay on the field to be productive so he can get a good contract. Now, Andy's right. Regardless of how badly he plays, someone's going to give him a shot next year. Regardless. But
he's a 1,200-yard back with 20-something touchdowns.
He needs to be productive, and in order to be productive, he needs to hold on to the football. So you're right. He is running on eggshells.
Right.
Yeah, I hate to see him leave. I mean, but you know what? I would love for, you know, Bill to just, you know, give him enough rope, man, to where he can hang himself. You know, just give him.
I don't know how much rope you can give the guy. I got to be honest with you.
Plus, he would just drop it.
Oh, see, now that was uncalled. All right, man.
Thanks, Trey.
See you, Trey.
Bye, Trey.
These little league pitchers, they're just crying on the mound between pitches. It's unbelievable the pressure that they're under.
Yeah, some people don't necessarily think it's such a good thing that these games are televised.
No, Sunday, I'm watching the game Sunday, and the kid is literally bawling on the mound between pitches.
Did you see Tebow time?
Yeah.
The kid from Rhode Island, it's spelled differently, but they say Tebow time.
Oh, yeah?
It's like B-E-A-U-L-T or something like that.
All right, one more call. Melvin from Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
How you doing,
Melvin?
I'm good. I made this quick because it seems like a lot of people have talked about the fumbles and stuff. But I think the alarming thing to me is just that it's like he fumbles the same way. It's real weird. Rather, you know, like, I don't know how hard it can be to put your hands on the ball and somebody's going in there, you know, trying to yank at you or you're falling down. That's really weird. Or it's a lack of awareness. One of those two issues is just really weird for Ridley. And the fact that he just hasn't improved. I'm glad because I called about it like months ago maybe because I knew his first fumble would come and there would be kind of a panic, but I'm glad it's a preseason, not the season. But he's just fumbling It's just really weird because it's normally based on those two things. But the point that I was going to say is that since we're going to this, looks like we have this possible 3-4 defense, and you know how kind of powerful your nose tackle has to be in order for that defense kind of to work. How much do you think that was in consideration when they kind of were, when the Vince Wilfork negotiations were going through and they were trying to figure out if they were going to, you know, all that was going on? Because do you think it would be that big of a drop-off if he wasn't there and they just put Kelly there or something like that?
Yes. I think he is far and away the best nose tackle on this football team. Now, whether that played into – well, first of all, we don't know if they're going to be a 3-4 team. We don't know if they wanted to be a 3-4 team specifically and they had to keep Wilfork. But it's on some level it's a factor because I do think there's a big drop-off after him.
Okay. That's what I was thinking about, too, because, you know, like, there was just a big – because I got this speed kind of defensive tackle that they drafted, and then you got this, you know, big traditional nose tackle, and those on totally two different sides of the spectrum to me. So, I mean, I was kind of on that same board. Then you got Tommy Kelly, which didn't know what was going to happen with that. And they played, and they paid a lot of the defensive tackle, it seemed like, throughout this offseason, trying to bring people in, trying to bring people out. So, I mean, that was just my concern. I just wanted to see how bad I'm glad he looked good. Because I think you'll need him later on down the line. I know Paul doesn't. I know sometimes he doesn't get too, you know, happy about the defensive tackles, but you know, I'm glad he's on.
No, what Andy said about Vince is right though. They don't have anybody that's capable of playing inside like that.
Thanks, Melvin. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Lots going on at Patriots.com. This week as we get ready for the game on Friday here at Gillette Stadium against the Panthers. But as far as us, we will be back on Thursday. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.